in this world that can never replace or be anywhere close as good as the touch of God on a human soul. It's destined and bound for glory. Turn your Bible, please, to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 13. Most of the messages the Lord gives me are just in the casual Bible reading where you just open up the Bible, wherever it falls, it's okay. And you start reading, pretty soon God says, oh, I want to show you something. And when he shows you something, you'll never forget it. If you hear messages this morning or any time, you'll do good to remember 5 or 10% of it at best. Or if you hear anything in this world, what you see. But when God shows you something, I never forget it. So thank God for his precious word. And it's just full of gems and gold nuggets. And when you read it, he reveals himself to you in this precious word. We'll pick up the story in the middle part of this great chapter. Jesus is headed to the cross at Calvary. We've sung about Calvary this morning. We rejoice. And now he's going to be talking about the cross. Suffering precedes glory. A lot of people in this world, and always has been, everyone wants the glory, but there's no glory before suffering. So Jesus needs have suffered and bled and died for the sins of the world. But there was glory, and he's going to show us this morning. And you and I go through struggles, heartaches, disappointments, fears, and it tends to get you down. Much of the Bible talks about the cross and Calvary in a negative sense because there was great suffering, but not John. John is writing about the cross and telling us about the glory. Glory in the cross? Oh, yeah. Because without the cross and without the suffering, there would be no glory. Sometimes God sends things in your life and mine, and these things, I've lost my water back there somewhere. I never made it up here. Somebody find my water for me. Sandra says, if you put things, thank you, my brother, in one place, you'd always find it. Well, the trouble of it is remembering where you put it. But I've always found out everything I've lost is exactly where I lost it. If you lost your joy this morning, you can go back and find that joy. When you go back and remember what caused you to lose that joy. Let's read the text together in the 13th chapter of John. We'll begin reading with verse 25. He then lying on Jesus' breast, saith to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus had just told the disciples that one of them is going to crucify them, warn to betray him. And you can imagine how all of them must have felt because the Bible says, he that thinketh he stands, take heed lest he falls. And a lot of times Peter had made the mistake several times of saying, I would never do that. And yet he did exactly what he said he would not do. So now the thought is going through their minds. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said to him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. As I was reading this, several thoughts occurred to you that I'd never seen before. But look at the emphasis. that Jesus put upon the fact that one is the devil. The devil entered into him, into Judas Iscariot. And at that particular point, Jesus said, go ahead and do what you do. Do it quickly. Immediately, he left the scene. And then we read that verse, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said to him, think about this. Things in your life and mine so often hinder us. There's mistakes we make, and it's hindering causes. Remember when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and there was a stone that was covering, and Jesus could have removed the stone, but he told them, remove the stone. And there's things in your life and mine that many times need removing before there's glory. Now, there's going to be glory in the suffering. But Jesus waited, and emphasis is put on the fact that he did not talk about the glory. He did not talk about the glory that the Father had in him. He had in the Father or glory in the cross until Judas, who was filled with Satan, went out. How many times in your life and mine have we experienced the fact that some evil thought, you may be saved and that's wonderful, but some evil thoughts come into your mind, you retaliate, somebody has said something, somebody has done something to you, and at the same time you realize and know that you must get over it, but you have a hard time. But remember, there's not going to be any glory until you dismiss this. No glory, no talk of glory until Judas, who had been filled with Satan, was out of the room. And now Jesus has the freedom to speak to the other 11. Listen to the word. Where Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Speak to you on this thought this morning. The glory of the cross. Jesus says there's going to be glory in himself because of the cross of Calvary. Not only that, but God will get glory in his suffering. And then the glory would be manifest to others. How is this glory manifest? That we love one another. We'll speak about that love a little bit later on. But let's look first of all at the Son of Man glorified in his cross. How did he do that? Because before the foundation of the world, it was already told and foreordained that God would send his Son into the world and he would die for the sins of the people. That's you and that's me. We were all sinners. So Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, full man and full God, had come into this world. We will celebrate soon the birth of Jesus Christ at Bethlehem, Beth House. And we realize that he came to Bethlehem to be born. And we celebrate that. So all these many years, there was not years in heaven all the time, there was years down here on this earth. But all this time, Jesus, the Son of God, realized and knew that he was going to come and he was going to suffer. He wasn't looking forward to the suffering, nor was he looking forward to the fact that he would have to become sin for you and sin for me. In fact, he would have to become sin himself and take your sins and my sins and nail them upon the cross. He wasn't looking forward to the sin part, but he was looking forward to the fact that there was going to be a cross, and he was going to endure the shame, endure the suffering. and soon it will be gone. One of my favorite terms in the whole Word of God is, and it came to pass. And Jesus realized that, yes, there was going to be suffering, but he said the Son of Man glorifies. And he said present tense. Look at the verb. It didn't say in a few days I'm going to the cross. No, no, no. In God's mind, in the Lord's mind, in the Son of Man's mind, it was already a done deal, because when God has spoken something, and your salvation and my salvation is complete in him. When you get saved, you're gloriously saved. And it's just as much as you're already seated in the place of heaven. He sees us there already. See, God sees the future as well as he does the past, as well as he does at this present time. And the scripture says in verse 31, now is the Son of Man glorified. Calvary hasn't come yet, a few more days. But he uses that term, and that term now, it's not the typical term that's used in the Bible. It means even more a prevalent time, a time like there's never been another time. All these many years and many years after the earth was created, the one thing that had to happen, Christ Jesus is going to be born, and we celebrate that. But he came and he was born to suffer and to die. So now he is saying, now Satan has gone out of the room. He was manifest in Judas Iscariot. And now that part is gone. He's gone to do the darkness. The world and the devil loves darkness. So he went from the light, where Jesus is the light of the world, and he went out in the darkness to deceive and to try to tear down and destroy everything that Jesus had come to accomplish. But Jesus used the term now. Now the Son of Man is glorified. How is he glorified? He said he's glorified in him. The Son of Man is glorified in him. In verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. The Son of Man was glorified in the cross. The cross hadn't happened yet, but all these many years he was looking forward to the fact to pay your sin debt. If you and I knew the time and the ability ahead that we had on this earth, we would be troubled. For instance, if you thought you had 10 years, you might be, well, I've got 10 years. I don't have to accomplish all that work today. I've got 10 more years to do it. However, if we thought and knew that we only had 2 or 3 days, I wonder what our agenda would be in those 2 or 3 days. We would take full advantage of every minute. I don't know if we'd even go to sleep or not. I don't know about what you would do, but I would say within myself, so, well, if I only have, you know, like 48 hours, for instance, I sure don't want to waste part of that sleeping. And I don't know what I'd do in those next 45 hours or 48 hours if I knew I had them. But I'd do a lot of praying. I'd do a lot of soul seeking. I would do a lot of intercessory work for some people I knew that was dying and going to hell, because I realized upon this earth I wouldn't have long to accomplish what God had expected me today to do. And, of course, we can go back in your mind and say, well, if I only had 48 hours, that's not very long. I can't do a lot in 48 hours. But what about all the time we perhaps have wasted? All the many years, all the many times we have slumbered and we have been asleep on God. But Jesus knew and realized the day was at hand that he had looked for. He was not looking forward to the suffering, but he was looking forward to the accomplishments of Calvary. So therefore, the Son of Man is glorying in the cross, because upon the cross I'll shed my blood and I'll give my blood for the sins of many, all those that want to be saved. It's not his will that any should perish. And Christ Jesus is going to pay that sin debt. So therefore, now Satan has gone. He's set the chain in motion. He's going to betray me. He's going to come, and they're going to come and arrest me and give me this mock trial, and I'll be at Calvary. And then upon Calvary, he knew every step of the way. He knew every word he would say. I'm telling you, we have a God that knows everything about everything. And when you think about that, he knows everything about you. He knows everything about me. So now he tells us that we need to also remember and bring glory, because you and I have crosses to bear. He said, take up the cross and follow me. What's the cross in your life? What's the cross in my life? Whatever God allots you to do. His allotment was to go to Calvary, and there he was going to bleed and die and shed his blood for the sins of the world. What's our cross? God has different ways of manifesting his glory in every individual. And he says the Son of Man is going to glorify God, and God's going to bring glory to him, and I'm going to get glory in the cross. So the thing that you're going through that you have come to face, and you realize it could be somebody said something about you. It could be somebody's run you down. But see, in all this, we're acting Christ-like. Christ never complained. He never said how awful it's going to be, how terrible it's going to be, that all those people in from Adam's race and all those people in the future have sinned, and that's why I'm going to Calvary, because they have done me wrong. No, no, no. He was glorifying in the cross, and he counted it wonderful that God would trust him to bear the sins of many. And so the cross, as you and I think we have to bear, look at it this way. How could we bring glory to Christ Jesus? Carrying that cross, a cross of shame, cross of somebody trying to ruin your reputation, or somebody not treating you right, somebody not lifting you up. Whatever it is, a cross you bear, bring honor and glory to him, and bring honor and glory to him, and thank him that he counted you worthy. It amazes me this day and time when he realized that you and I would be going through this world in darkness like it's never been, perhaps, and it's going to get worse. We realize the scripture tells us that a perilous time shall come, and wicked men shall get more wicked by the day, and we're living those times, but think of it this way. What can you and I do that are saved by the grace of God to bring glory to his name? And we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We can start now. Jesus says, now is the Son of Man glorified in the cross. Now, before it happened. Because he looked at the future as though it was present. It was going to happen. Things have been set in motion. But not only was the Son of Man glorified in this cross, but he said God is glorified and will be glorified in the Son of Man. And then we are children of the Most High God. If he redeemed you and saved you, you have a cross to bear, yes. But he said, now are we called the children of God. God looks upon his saved children as sons and daughters, and he looks at us as the ability to bear the cross and bring, not reproach on his name, but bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus. And so now he's saying the Father is glorified in the Son. But lastly, he said the Son of Man is glorified in the Father. So next time someone does something hard, hateful, even purposely against you, look at the way Jesus did. I know he's God. He's able to look at things better than we can. But he says that we ought to bear the cross also. And in everything, we give him honor and glory. And we bring reproach, not on ourselves when we do that, but we bring reproach on him when we don't bear the cross. No complaining. Doesn't worry about what other people say, what other people do, how they act. It doesn't make any difference. Jesus Christ is not blaming anybody. He is glorying in the cross and letting the Father glory in him. And he is glorying in the Father. See, it's a three-way deal. That Christ Jesus lives in us. And we're in this world. And he said we bring glory to him in the crosses we bear. But I won't get down to the main part of the message this morning. That's the next few verses. He tells us how we're to do this. We're to do that by showing love. The kind of love he had. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know that. And he's getting ready to do that. But he tells us about the love we ought to have, every one of us. Look at the text together as he demonstrates his love. And I know parents today, and probably always have, if they're good parents, they tell children what to do, how to act in this situation. And you don't have to go through the motion now, but you know, when people say bad things about you, don't insult them, don't insult anybody, and children behave and don't bring reproach on the Lord. And we know all that, but the Lord is telling you and I this morning how we're to behave in this world because other people are watching us. Listen what he says. Little children, get a little while. Wait a minute. These are grown men, 11 of them are there with him at Last Supper, and he calls them little children. That's the way the Lord looks at you and I. And sometimes we act like little children, don't we? And so he calls us that because obviously the 11 disciples, they were still learning. They had learned to pray. They had learned to go out and do mission work. They had been given power to do wonderful miracles, and they came back so excited about it, and as well as they should be. So they came back and told Jesus even the devils had to depart in their name. And they were excited about a lot of things. And Jesus said, yeah, that's well and good. That's why I gave you that power to cast out devils and to do all these mighty work miracles. But I'll tell you the most important thing that you haven't really digested yet, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So next time you and I go through the trials, and you will, the failures, and we will, and all the hardships, the sicknesses, everything that comes your way, let's look at it like this in a different light, that Christ Jesus counted me worthy to suffer in his name. I remember when I was in the hospital, and I was there 35 days, and one day Darren came in, and I was crying. I was thinking about all the things that the Lord had allowed me to go through. Suffering? Yeah. Because he showed me and revealed to me. I couldn't read. I was too sick. I couldn't pray because I was too sick. But what he did, he came to me during those days, and he talked to me, and he let me listen. So what I was learning was how to listen to God in those days. And God allowed me to do that. So Darren said, why are you crying right now, Dad? You're shedding tears. Are you hurting? I said, not a bit right now. Well, why are you crying? I said, I'm just thinking God could have chose any preacher in the world or anybody in the world to go through what he let me go through. But he chose me. That means he must have trusted me. While I'm going through this suffering, never to complain, never to get bitter, never to say, why did you let me? But to bring him honor and glory. Now, if you can learn that during the time of your suffering, you're getting really stepped up in the world to take advantage of the suffering that he allows you to go through. So when you suffer bodily, whatever it is, learn to bring glory to his name. How do we do that? He's going to tell us right now how we do that. He demonstrates his love toward us. So little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I send to you a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Isn't that wonderful? Now, they've been taught in the old scripture to love, and they've been taught very well, but now he says this is a new commandment. What's new about it? The new commandment is, as I have loved you, I have demonstrated, I'm going to the cross. I'm going to shed my blood. It's going to remove all the sins and all the sin question. And it'll be have the ability to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit can come into you and indwell you and get you through this wicked world. But what you have to learn is how to love. I talked to a lot of elderly evangelists in my life, Dr. J. Harold Smith, Dr. Percy Reyes, a lot of great men of God, and I asked them to share with me some of the experiences they had so it would help me in my experiences, and they did. And both of them told me about the same thing. What we need to do and what I have learned in my ministry, they told me, is that people need to know how to demonstrate the love of God in their heart. Why did they say that? Because obviously through the many, many years they traveled and preached in churches all over the world, that God had caused people and allowed people to suffer a lot. And in the suffering, a lot of them didn't glorify God. It was, woe is me, why did you do this to me, God? And then when people would treat them bad, it was like running the people down. But Jesus teaching us a new commandment. As I have loved you, then you're to love one another. And when they do ugly things, and when the world treats you bad, it doesn't matter. Look what he said, how to love. The love of God. Little children, yet a little while I'm with you. You shall seek me. As I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. We cannot even imagine what it would have been like for Christ Jesus to go to that cross, which he said, I'll bring glory to God in it. I'll glorify him in the suffering. He will be glorified in me, and I'll glorify the Father. And now he's telling us, we won't have to go to the cross and be crucified. It won't be that bad. Sure, we have our crosses to bear. But he said, in the crosses you have to bear, we communicate with one another. We fellowship with one another. We engage with one another in worship and in work and every other way. But he said, do it in love. Are all of us always lovable? I'm not. Sometimes if you feel bad physically, it's hard to display that love. You have to put on a smiley face when really you don't feel like smiling. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the smiling face. Because people that you meet and I meet don't know what you're going through at the time. And they assume, as you and I assume also, that if people have a frown on their face or they're not looking happy and you're the only person around, they sense and they think maybe, well, what have I done to them? They're mad at me. On and on and on. But we have to realize that Christ Jesus needs to have suffered, and yet he was willing to suffer and to love you and I. So he said, just love one another as I have loved you. Now, what is important about that? Well, we realize the importance of it, because if you love one another, then that love that you are displaying to that individual will bounce back. It's like a mirror image. As we love one another, and you just practice it and show it. You meet somebody, I remember individuals in my lifetime that for whatever reason they had that smear on their face. They had, and I didn't know them first time I met them, but there they were. And I knew I was going to have to engage with them for years to come. And so I decided right then, I don't know them, I don't know their problem, maybe they don't have a problem, but I'm going to display love for them. No matter what they say, no matter what they do, I'm going to love them. I won't have time to tell you some of the things that happened in around the country, how people have, if you'll just watch around the country, church people aren't always act like the best loving people in the world, are they? Shame on us. That's us I'm talking about. Well, look at the importance of it now as we keep reading. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. This is the key to the whole message. You see, we pray for the lost, and we seek God's face. Lord, convict them, cause them to come to church, cause them to listen to the message, cause them to, you know what they're looking at? They don't carry a Bible. They're looking at you. And if they ever hear you say anything about another church member or how you didn't like something that happened in church, anything, that is a reverse of what Jesus is trying to tell us. They will know that you have the love of God in you if you demonstrate every way the love of God one to another. And if you don't do that, you're telling the world that there's not much to this religion. But if you and I learn, you know, take people, give them the benefit of doubt. They do the things that are hurtful, And it seems as though they try to do these things in church and in other places. It's hurtful. But Jesus said, demonstrate the love of God. And that's the way they know. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. The one revelation that people know that you're saved, that don't know you, or perhaps, or maybe they're in sin. And maybe some of them are infidels. Some of them don't even believe in God, so they say. But if they can see the love of God in your heart. I remember Dr. J. Harold Smith telling me, he told many people this story, that he was an infidel. He didn't believe in God or anything. He got out of college as a doctor, medical doctor, sitting on the back porch of his sister in Greenville, South Carolina. She turned to him and says, Harold, you've tried everything else. Why don't you try Jesus in your life? He said, when I heard those words in my heart, I turned to tell her to mind her own business. But I looked on her face, I saw compassion, I saw tears. And that compassion and those tears caused me to get on my knees and got saved. And before I got up, God called me to be a Baptist preacher. What caused him to get saved? The love of God shed abroad in his sister's heart. And if he had not seen those tears and that compassion, wonder what it would have taken to get him saved. I'm saying that when people treat you bad and people are looking, people are observing, and you can talk till you're blue in the face about you ought to live right, you ought to do right, it don't do a lot of good, does it? But if they see in your eyes, you can't camouflage it. You can't make them have it unless it's from the abundance of your heart. From the abundance of your heart, if you have that love for them, you say, well, they've done me wrong. So what? Did we do Jesus wrong? We were sinners. Every one of us, our sins, were the reason he had to go to Calvary. But Jesus says he's going to get glory in the cross. He's going to bring glory to the Father. And in return, the Father will get glory out of him. So the question would be to you and I this morning, have we in our lives, are we in our lives bringing glory to Jesus? Are we bringing glory to God in the suffering, in the manner people treat us, in the manner of diseases we have? I know it's awful to be sick. We've all been sick. And as Joe said, some of us, including his brother, were sickened to death. And all of us are going to die. At the same time, how do we act during that? The world is looking. And Jesus said the one means that the world is going to know that you're saved is to see the love in you. And if they don't see that, then they'll say, what's the use? I have the same hardships they have, the same heartaches they have, and if they have such difficulty going through and carrying the cross, I don't think I could try it either. But on the other hand, if they see you in your difficulties and your trials and your tribulations, you don't question God for sending them. He's done right. He's doing right. He will do right. But the question should be, how do we bear the cross? How do we show love, the love of God in their hearts? By this, all men shall know that you have the love of God in your heart. Can't be your love. Can't be mine. It's not big enough. It's only God's love in you, the hope of glory. Would you stand this morning, your heads bowed? Please come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. But the question would be this morning, can we honestly say with all our heart, we can't go back and undo anything in the future. We've all made mistakes. We've all failed him. Some of us could even say we're pretty big failures. Haven't acted right in a lot of situations. The world treated me bad, and I treat them bad back. But from this day forward, could we just determine in our heart that in the difficulties, in the trials, in the sufferings, and there will be, that we can learn to glorify in the sufferings and give him glory and the Father glory. And they said if we could, he would let us glory in the sufferings. Oh, what a wonderful opportunity to have. Because every one of us here have lost people. It's not saved. And if they don't see Christ in you, they probably won't get saved. They could. But the best, we'll just learn, the best opportunity the people you know of getting saved is to see Christ in you. Smiles when they frown. The love displayed when they're unlovely. But if Christ could do it, He has put it in your heart and mind. No doubt this morning, many people are hurt over something or somebody or some way, or maybe even hurt with God. I've talked to people that's mad at God, just can't get over the fact with God that He allowed this to happen to me. You will never get glory in anything until you get over that. Because we have to be willing to get glory out of everything He sends our way. The flesh can't do that. But Christ in you, the hope of glory, can. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before Your throne, thankful for this portion of Scripture. And You're not going to even talk about the glory or this display glory to Your disciples until Judas and the devil exited the place. It's the first lesson for us today. There's not even any talk of glory, much less experiencing glory, until we let the ways of the devil get out of our lives. Hatefulness, bitterness, contrariness, envy, strife, all that stuff. If we can't dismiss that and let it exit our life, if as Judas exited that room, there will be no talk of glory. There will be no experience of glory. There will be no love that should have brought in our heart. We'll be miserable. But we can do it like Jesus told Judas to get out. Then we can say, Lord, I don't want that anymore in my life. All that bitterness, hatefulness, contrariness, jealousy, unforgiveness. Lord, that blood that was shed at Calvary is capable of removing that from my life. Help me to do it. Then we can talk about glory and the love of Christ. And if we want the lost to be saved, and surely we do, we have to learn the lesson and learn it well. Let the love of God be displayed in their life to overcome every evil, every hurt, and every attitude that we have, and look to You and thank You, Father, for the situation that is well with us as it is, and we can trust You, get us through it, and while we're getting through it, that we can glory in it by shedding the love toward others that You had for us, displaying the love of Christ in their heart. Help us to be that, Father. We want the lost saved, and we know how to do it. Can't do it within ourselves. Only You can help us do it. But we're pleading in that precious blood that was shed at Calvary to help us overcome all evil and all the thoughts, all the bitterness. Let our life be on display for the world to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving.